just before we actually begin, I was asked to make an announcement that I forgot. And we asked the brothers not to, after the Salat of Isha, not to gravitate towards the back, please. Seems to be a bad habit among some of the brothers that they gravitate towards the back of the masjid. If you've got to gravitate forwards or backwards, gravitate towards the front of the masjid, inshallah. Obviously, there occurs in the authentic hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the best rows for the men are the front rows, and the worst of the rows for the men are the back rows. So, obviously, the front rows being the furthest away from the women. So, if there happens to be any sisters in the masjid, then, of course, if you gravitate towards the back, you'll be gravitating towards the women at the back, which is not something desirable. It's something undesirable. So, if you want to move, then move towards the front, and don't move towards the back, please. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Lum'atul I'tiqad, the Book of Creed and Belief, compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then, last week we continued the section with regard to innovations and the innovators. So who can remember from what we had from the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, and who can answer some of these questions? Firstly, is it correct to say that with regard to the people of innovation, the heads of the innovated sects, that is it correct to say, well, they died off centuries ago, so nowadays we don't need to be concerned so much about the heads of innovation and the innovations which they propagated? We're safe from that, really, because they died centuries ago, so we can relax in that regard. How correct would that saying be? Now, as the brother was saying, that this saying would not be correct whatsoever. As Sheikh Al-Fawzan pointed out, that even though the heads of innovation may have died years ago, their bodies may have died, but their ideas and their books are still present now. And the evil contained in their books is still present now. And they still have people who take their books and people who propagate their books to this day. So it's not just the fact that, oh, they've died off, we can relax on that front or ignore that matter, no. Sheikh Fawzan, he made a point how we are to treat the books of the people of innovation. How should we treat those books? Should we treat them as a treasure in our libraries, or what should we do with these books? How should we treat them, the books of the people of innovation?
Stay away from them.
No. As Sheikh Al-Fawzan pointed out, that just as we do Hajar, we boycott and abandon the people of innovation, then this also extends to their books as well. That we don't say we abandon the people of innovation, but we read their books. This is not correct. Rather, we abandon the people of innovation, and a part of abandoning them for their evil is abandoning their books, the books that they write. That we do not read their books, keep away from their books. However, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he mentioned an exception to this. There's an exception to this, and he mentioned a reason as well. Who can remember? Was that just that if somebody's interested to look in their books? Was that the exception? Or can somebody remember what the exception was? So who was the exception, and in what case was the exception? Or exceptions?
Person of knowledge. No. So he can research the books and then point out their mistakes.
Yeah.
Correct their mistakes.
Yeah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he pointed out the exception to this general rule of the prohibition of looking into the books of people of innovation, the exception is for the people of knowledge, who are soundly grounded in knowledge. Not just somebody claims, well, I've got a bit of knowledge, I think I'm capable of that. No, somebody who's got knowledge, grounded in his knowledge, well grounded, and capable of looking into those books,
then he can look into those books with the purpose of refuting the falsehood contained in them and warning the people against what is contained in them. What about if a person comes along and says, well, I have some degree of knowledge, and the important thing is that I can tell the truth, the difference between truth and falsehood. I'm able to tell the truth from falsehood. I may not be a scholar, but I can tell the truth from falsehood. If I see something in a book which is false, I'll recognise it, so therefore it's safe for me to go and look into their books. What's the answer to that? That if it's false, it will stand out in front of my eyes, it will look ugly, it will look dark and evil, and I'll be able to spot it straight away. What's the answer to that point that Sheikh Al-Fawzan brought? This sort of argument.
No, because the people of Bidah, they use beautiful speech to take away the misguidance.
Yeah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned that, contrary to what some people seem to think, that the people of innovation, the people of deviant sects, the people of falsehood, they beautify their speech. They falsely, what they're saying is false, but they beautify it, and they adorn it, and they make it look nice. So therefore, it may not be the case that a person looks into it, it may look nice to him. He looks on the what's apparent, it may look nice. So therefore, he'll be tricked into thinking it's true, when in reality it's falsehood. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he gave an evidence from the Qur'an to show that evil people, they may indeed do this. They may make their speech fair-sounding. They may adorn their speech and make it sound good. What example did Shaykh al-Fawzan give from the Qur'an for people of evil doing this?
إذا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض.
No doubt he quoted the ayah from Surah Al-An'am. شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا. The explanation: devils from amongst mankind and jinn, inspiring each other with falsely adorned speech in order to delude others. He also quoted a further evidence, and before that he quoted evidence as well about some people of evil.
There's a lot of poetry.
The ayah from Surah Al-Munafiqun, وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. The ayah, as an address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerning the hypocrites, the munafiqun, that if, with the explanation, if they speak, you listen to what they say. As Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning because they falsely adorn their speech. They falsely adorn their speech. And obviously, as Abu mentioned, there's lines of poetry in that regard as well. What did Shaykh al-Fawzan say about those people who say, what we can do though, is that we can print these books of the heads of innovation, for example, some head of innovation lived centuries ago, that to preserve the cultural heritage or the like, it's a man within the Ummah, and he had some, okay, he was upon some falsehood, but just to preserve that, instead of losing that cultural heritage, if we preserve it, we can print that just to preserve a part of the culture, whether we agree with it or don't agree with it, that just to preserve the cultural heritage or something like that. What did Sheikh al-Fawzan say about this argument? Did he agree with that or not?
Oh, rubbish.
Yeah. To summarise, he said, it's a load of rubbish, basically. That this is a false argument. And this is not correct. This is rather, it's nothing cultural nonsense. Rather, this is opening a door of evil to the nation, to the Ummah. It's just nothing but an opening a door to evil for the Ummah. What fancy terms you want to apply to it, it's opening a door of evil to this Ummah. We have no need for any doors of evil to be opened upon us. Who can remember, from what the Sheikh mentioned, and answer the question, which innovations are acceptable in the Islamic legislation, which innovations are acceptable?
Innovations of the dunya.
In Islamic legislation.
Worldly things.
No. In the Islamic legislation, no innovations are acceptable. No. But what exception is there?
To what? I mean, that was the dunya.
In Islamic law, in Islamic legislation, in what's prescribed, there's no innovations permissible. No such thing as a good innovation. However, something different is matters of the worldly life, matters of everyday life, which are not matters of worship. For example, the Sheikh gave the example using cars, using microphones, and so on and so forth. These are not matters of the deen. They're matters of which people use for their welfare or their benefit, using a microphone, using a car. They're not matters of the deen, rather matters of everyday life. So these are not something forbidden, and they're not counted as innovations. They're just new things in regard to worldly life, that's all. Not innovations in the religion. A person doesn't make those things thinking he's going to get nearer to Allah by utilizing that thing, using the car or using the microphone. So these are matters of the everyday life, not matters of the deen, not matters of worship of Allah the Most High. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, and what occurs in this Egyptian print on page 281, in the Saudi edition, page 276, or thereabouts, the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he said, وَكُلُّ مُؤْتَسِمْ بِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مُمْتَدِعٌ. And everyone who ascribes himself to other than Islam and the Sunnah is an innovator. And just a side point here, in all the printed editions of the book, all the different printed editions, it contains the wording was sunnah. Except for this edition of Sheikh al-Fawzan, the word as-sunnah, was sunnah, has dropped out from the printed edition. It's in all the other editions, it's clearly from the text, and even Sheikh al-Fawzan's explanation makes it very clear that it's there, because straight away he mentions, from the innovations, is to call yourself with other than Islam and the sunnah. So it looks like it's just dropped out of the printed edition. And the Egyptian print just followed the Saudi print in that matter. So just repeat that then. وَكُلُّ مُتَّسِمْ بِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالسُنَّةِ مُبْتَدِعٌ. And everyone who ascribes himself to other than Islam and the Sunnah is an innovator. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, and from the innovations, the bid'ah, also, is ascribing oneself to other than Islam and the Sunnah. Such as, and then he gives some examples, or types of examples, such as the person who ascribes himself to an ideology, a mabda, or to a madhab, doctrine or position, or to a shakhs, to an individual, other than Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever ascribes himself to something besides Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ascribing oneself should only be to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, and to following ittiba of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the correct ascription. This is what is correct to ascribe oneself to. As for ascription to the people of the deviant sects, the firaq, and the nihal, the false creeds, and the madhahib, different positions or doctrines, and the mabadi, the ideologies which run contrary to the book and the sunnah, then this is misguidance. This is misguidance. And then the author himself, Ibn Qudamah himself, rahimahullah, he gives some examples of what he's talking about here. And that's what follows. He gives the examples of this, of doing this. He says, كَالْرَافِضَةِ such as the Rafida. Such as the Rafida. Referring to the Rafida, Shia. So he says, such as the Rafida. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, كَالْرَافِضَةِ such as the Rafida. And he explains who they are. He said, the Rafida are a group of the Shia. They are called the Rafida. And they are called Al-Ja'fariyya and Al-Musawiyya. Two terms meaning, as the Shaykh will show, no reality to this, but that's what it means. The followers of Ja'far are the followers of Musa. Al-Ja'fariyya or Al-Musawiyya. He said, they are called Al-Rafida, literally the rejectors. They are called that because they came to Zayd ibn Ali, ibn al-Husayn, ibn Ali, ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum. So he explains historically, where did the sect of the Rafida get their name, the Rafida, the rejectors, from? He said, because they came to this man, Zayd ibn Ali, ibn al-Husayn, ibn Ali, ibn Abi Talib, the grandson of al-Husayn, his name was Zayd. As a side point, they mentioned he was born in the year 80 and he died in the year 122 after the Hijrah, in the time of the Tabi'een. So they came to him and they said to him, disassociate yourself from Abu Bakr and Umar. And he wanted to make him a leader over them. So first they tested him and they said this to him. They said, disassociate yourself from Abu Bakr and Umar. So he said, I will not disassociate myself from them. Rather, they were the two companions of my grandfather and his two advisors. Meaning Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he said my grandfather, meaning his Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously being descended from him through Fatima, radiallahu anha. Wife of Ali, radiallahu anhu. So he said, when they told him, disassociate yourself from Abu Bakr and Umar. So he said, I will not disassociate myself from them. Rather, they were the two companions of my grandfather and his two advisors. Meaning Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the two people whom he used to consult. So they said, إِذَن نَرْفُضُكَ. In that case, we reject you. In that case, we reject you. Meaning we abandon you and we will not follow you. So therefore they were called Ar-Rafida, the rejectors. Because they rejected Zayd ibn Ali from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, of the people of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on. So the one group of the Shia, they rejected him. And they became called the Rafida. Then he mentions the group who accepted him as their leader. He said, and those people who ascribe themselves to Zayd from the Shia, they are called as Zaydiyya. They are called the Zaydiyya. And those who ascribe themselves to Ja'far as-Sadiq, and this famous Imam of the past, Ja'far as-Sadiq, as a side point, he died in the year 148. Then Shaykh mentions who he is. He was Ja'far as-Sadiq, the son of Muhammad al-Baqir ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn. Those people are called al-Ja'fariyya. The Shia who ascribe themselves to this man, Ja'far al-Sadiq. Ones who ascribe themselves to him, falsely as we will see, but they ascribe themselves to him, they're called al-Ja'fariyya, the Ja'faris. the Sheikh said. And those people are people who are merely ascribing themselves only. I mean, they call themselves followers of Ja'far, but they're not followers of Ja'far. As the Sheikh said, they are not upon the way of Ja'far as-Sadiq, rahimahullah. Because he was one of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. He is one of the scholars of the people of the Sunnah. And from the ulama of the Salaf, of the predecessors. This is a point that we need to be aware of. These imams that they quote here, these ones, Ja'far as-Sadiq, and his like, they were scholars of the Sunnah, people of the Sunnah, nothing to do with these people who falsely ascribe themselves to him. The Sheikh said, so they are merely ascribing themselves to him with mere ascription. وَلَا يَعْتَبِعُونَهُ And they do not follow him in what he was upon from the position of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And they lie upon him. All of their books are filled with lies upon Abu Abdullah. I mean, great Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. If you open up the Rafidah Shia books, you'll see that they're all saying, Abu Abdullah said this, Abu Abdullah said this, Ja'far al-Sadiq said that, Ja'far, and as the Sheikh said, lie after lie after lie. That he's totally free of. But he, as the Sheikh said, he was an Imam of the Sunnah. Nothing to do with the lies that these people invented upon him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, and in any case, we are not commanded to ascribe ourselves to Ja'far, nor to Zayd, nor to so-and-so, nor so-and-so, nor that we ascribe ourselves to anyone, except to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we are commanded to ascribe ourselves to. And just a small point in this regard, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentioned, with regard to the Rafidah, because that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends his explanation about the Rafidah, with regard to the Rafidah Shia, then Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, they are the ones who go beyond limits with regard to the Ahl al-Bayt, with regard to the family of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they declare as unbelievers all the rest of the companions, or declare that they were evildoers. And they are many different groups. Some amongst them are the extremists who claimed that Ali was one deserving worship. And from them there are those who are lesser than that. And the first appearance of their bid'ah, of their innovation, was in the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. In the first, these Rafidah Shia, they claim to be adherents of Ali radiallahu anhu. They claim that we're following his way, we're upon his way. So as the Shaykh said, the first appearance of this deviant sect, the Rafidah, was in his time, in the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. When Abdullah ibn Sabah, and it's important we remember that name, that's the name of the founder of the Rafidah Shia. He is the founder of the Rafidah Shia religion, Abdullah ibn Sabah. It's a historical reality, figure in reality. And as a side point, even the Rafidah Shia books, some of their books, they even affirm that he existed. They affirm that he existed and they boast about him. Anyway, the Sheikh said, the first appearance of their innovation was in the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. When Abdullah ibn Sabah said, Antal ilah. Abdullah ibn Sabah said to Ali, you are the one deserving of worship. So Ali radiallahu anhu ordered that they should be burnt. And their leader, Abdullah ibn Sabah, fled to Al-Madain. He fled away from Ali radiallahu anhu, escaped and fled away from him. And then from him was the religion sprouted and grew. With regard back to the main text and the main explanation, then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues with the examples here, after saying, such as the Rafidah, he said, wal jahmiyati, and the Jahmiyyah. And another example of a false ascription to the deviant sects is to ascribe oneself to the Jahmiyyah. Because he said, wal jahmiyati, and the Jahmiyyah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, it's been on page 284, he said, the Jahmiyyah, they are the followers of Jahm, they are the followers of Jahm ibn Safwan as-Samarqandi. Or it is said at Tirmidhi. So from the city of Samarqand, or the city of Tirmidhi, or the village of Tirmidhi, which is not far away. He was a person of false and futile ideas and beliefs of kufr, beliefs of unbelief, and Allah's refuge is sought. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentions, he lists some of the beliefs of Jahm, some of his beliefs which amount to unbelief. He said, so he denied the names and attributes for Allah the Mighty and Majestic. That's the first one. Then he mentioned the second one. And he held the saying of Al-Jabr. He held the saying of the Jabariyya, that the people are forced to perform their actions and that they have no choice and no ability. That's the second one of his sayings. Then he mentions the third. And he had al-irja. He had irja, the belief of the murji'ah. The Shaykh explained it. And that is, that iman is mere awareness in the heart. The iman, in his view, the view of Jahan, is just awareness in the heart. Even if the person does not attest to it by his actions. And even if he does not express it upon his tongue. As long, or he said rather, even if he does not act at all, as long as he knows that Allah is his Lord and that Muhammad is his messenger, that he is aware of this in his heart, then he is a mu'min, he is a believer. That's the view of Jahm. That's the view of Jahm. And action is not a condition, nor is saying, nor is attesting to it. Mere awareness in the heart is sufficient. This is his position in Irja, and Allah's refuge is sought. That was the view of Jahmi. That was the view of Jahm. If a person in his heart, he's just aware in his heart that Allah is his Lord, then he's a full believer in his view. That's it, he's a full believer. Even if he refuses to say it upon his tongue, he doesn't attest to it, refuses to say it upon his tongue, refuses to do any actions in affirmation of it, then he's still a full believer in the view of Jahm. So the Shaykh said, so he gathered between foul sayings, Jabr and Irja and Tajahum. The saying of the Jabariyya, that man is compelled upon his deeds, and the Irja, the Iman is just awareness in the heart, and Tajahum, in denial of Allah's names and attributes. Tajahum, with regard to the attributes, and Jabr, that man is compelled with regard to pre-decree, and Irja with regard to Iman. And he said that the Qur'an is created. Also he said, this is another saying of Jahm, that the Qur'an is created. All of them are foul and filthy sayings, and Allah's refuge is sought. This was al-Jahm ibn Safwan. And he took his position from al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. And who was the teacher of Jahm? His teacher was al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. And al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham took it from Aban, from Talut, the two of them being Jews. Aban was a Jew and Talut was a Jew. So their position is from the positions of the Jews. Their doctrine is from the doctrines of the Jews. And that's the source of it. And some of the, as a side point, some of them mentions Talut. Talut was the son of the sister of Labid al-Aqsam. And that he took it from Labid al-Aqsam, who was the Jew who did sorcery upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, wal khawarij, and the khawarij. He mentioned another false sect, which it would be false to ascribe oneself to, and the khawarij. In Shaykh al-Fawzan, his explanation, he explains who this group is. He said, al-khawarij, the khawarij, هم الذين خرجوا على أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. The Khawarij are those who rebelled against the chief of the believers, Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. The rightly guided Khalifa, the fourth of the rightly guided Khalifas. They rebelled against obedience to him. And they declared him to be a kafir. They declared him to be an unbeliever, and Allah's refuge is sought. And they fought against him. In the beginning, they fought jihad along with him. And then, when the tahkim, when the arbitration was brought about between him and between the people of Sham, at the Battle of Siffin, when that happened, or the Battle of Siffin being in the 37th year after the Hijrah, when this arbitration, the tahkim, came about at that battle. And that happened because they, I mean, why did this arbitration come about that they had a problem with? It came about because they, as the Shaykh said, they urged and insisted that Ali should accept the arbitration. They urged and accepted and insisted upon him that he had to accept arbitration. So therefore he, radiallahu anhu, he accepted it against his will. But he himself, he held that he should continue fighting until the end. I mean, at the Battle of Siffin, and Ali radiallahu anhu was fighting against the people of Sham, then these people came to him and they demanded that he, when there was a request was made for arbitration, his view was that he was fighting to attend the truth. He should continue the fight until the end. But these people, once he became the Khawarij, they insisted upon him that he must accept arbitration. So in the end he gave in and he accepted what they said and he accepted the arbitration. So then the Shaykh said, so when the arbitration gave a result which was other than what they desired, they declared that Ali was wrong and they declared him an unbeliever. I mean, the arbitration happened that they had insisted should happen. When it came about, the result of the arbitration was different to what they wanted. So therefore they declared Ali was wrong to make an arbitration when it was their idea. They forced and insisted that he should accept it. In the end he gave in, accepted it. When the result came against them, they said it's his fault. It's his mistake. And then they declared him a kafir based upon it. Then the Shaykh said, وَقَالُوا أَنْتَ حَكَّمْتَ الرِّجَالِ وَاللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ يَقُولُ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ فَخَرَجُوا عَلَيْهِ. As the Shaykh said, and they said, you have made men judges. Whereas Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, then he quotes the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 57, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that judgment is only for Allah. This was the saying of the Khawarij. They addressed Ali radiallahu anhu. And they said, you have made men judges, but Allah, the Most High, says, judgment is just for Allah. So therefore they rebelled against him. And they split away from obedience. And they gathered and united together. So Ali radiallahu anhu fought against them at the Battle of An-Nahrawan. This famous battle which Ali radiallahu anhu fought against these Khawarij. The Battle of An-Nahrawan, which happened in the year 37 or 38. So he slaughtered them. And Allah aided him against them. And relieved the Muslims of their evil. However, this position, this doctrine, this madhab remains. I mean, the position of the Khawarij, it still remains. And from their position is وَمِن مَذْهَبِهِمْ تَكْفِيرْ أَصْحَابِ الْكَبَائِرْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. From their position, meaning the position of the Khawarij, is to do takfir, is to declare as unbelievers those from this ummah who commit major sins. They say, the person who commits major sin is a kafir, an unbeliever. So the zani, the fornicator, and the sariq, the thief, and the sharib al-khamr, the drinker of intoxicants. And other than that, from the people of major sins, whoever does them becomes an unbeliever. In the view of the Khawarij, he becomes an unbeliever if he does any of these major sins. And he leaves the religion. And this, and Allah's refuge is sought, is contrary to the truth. It is contrary to the book and the sunnah. And to the position of the Ahlul Sunnah. That the one who commits a major sin from the Muslims is, I mean this, then the Shaykh quotes, what is the true position? Position of the people of the Sunnah. That the person who commits major sin from the Muslims, he is a fasiq, he is a sinner, who is naqis al-iman, who is deficient in his iman. And he is not a kafir, he is not an unbeliever. This is the true position. So they, the Khawarij, have gathered two crimes. The first crime is rebelling against al-jarimat al-ula, al-khuruj, and wulat al-umur. وَأَتِبَارُ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَهُوَ الْمُنْكَرُ بِعَيْنِهِ وَلَيْسَ مَعْرُوفًا. The Shaykh said their first crime was rebelling against those in authority of the affairs and considering this to be a case of ordering the good and forbidding the evil, whereas it is in itself an evil and it is not something good. In the Khawarij, they rebel against the Muslim rulers and they say, what we're doing? If somebody asks them, what are you doing? They say, we're ordering the good and forbidding the evil. This rebellion is ordering the good and forbidding the evil. The Shaykh said, rather it itself is evil. This act of theirs is not correction of an evil. It itself is an evil. And it is not anything good. And he mentioned that was their first crime. And the second crime is declaring sinners from the nation of Muhammad to be unbelievers. Declaring sinners from the Ummah al-Muhammadiyya to be unbelievers. And as a result of that, they have actually passed judgment upon themselves of unbelief and of remaining forever in the fire. I mean, a natural result of their saying, in reality, is that it would result in themselves being unbelievers and remaining in the fire forever. That would be a natural result of their own saying, the Shaykh said, because they also are not free from major sins. For they're rebelling against they're rebelling against the one in authority of affairs. Is this not from the major sins? And also, do sins not occur from them? Do acts contrary to the legislation not occur from them? So the meaning of this is that they will have pass judgment against themselves of unbelief and remaining in the fire forever. And Allah's refuge is sought. They are the Khawarij. And the Shaykh said, فَكُلُّ مَنْ ذَهَبَ هَذَا الْمَذْهَبَ وَهُوَ شَقَّ الْعَصَى وَالْخُرُوجِ عَلَى أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَوْ كَفَّرَ عُصَاةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِالْكَبَائِرِ الَّتِي دُونَ الشِّرْكِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْخَوَارِجِ فِي أَيِّ زَمَانٍ وَفِي أَيِّ مَكَانٍ. The Shaykh said, so whoever takes this position, and it is to split away, and to rebel against the Muslim rulers, or to declare the sinful Muslims to be unbelievers, because of their committing major sins, which are less than shirk, then he is from the Khawarij. Whoever does this, he's from the Khawarij, in whatever time, and in whatever place. In obviously contrary to what some fools claim these days, oh, Khawarij is something you read about in history books, they don't exist these days, as if they're blind or want to pretend that they're blind, or they want to put crimes upon people not committing those crimes, say that crimes being committed in this world in the name of Islam, they're not being committed by Khawarij because Khawarij don't exist, so it's the Wahhabis. These crimes are committed by the Khawarij who still exist. As Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly made clear in the hadith that the Khawarij will continue to appear in the authentic narration, Shaykh Albani mentions in al-Sahihah, that the Khawarij will continue to appear until the last of them follows the Dajjal. The Khawarij will continue until the time of the Dajjal. So they're in this time and the previous time, and we'll continue, contrary to the false saying of some people. So as the Sheikh said, just to repeat it because of its importance. So whoever takes this position, and it is to split away and to rebel against the Muslim rulers, or to declare the sinful Muslims who have committed major sins which are less than shirk to be unbelievers, then he is from the Khawarij in any time and in any place. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues with what will take as the last point today, inshaAllah. He says, Wal Qadariyya. He mentions this further deviant sect. Wal Qadariyya. And the Qadariyya. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, Al-Iman bil Qadr, having Iman in pre-decree, Al-Qadr, is the sixth pillar from the pillars of Iman. And Iman, true faith, that Allah pre-decreed whatever will happen, and Iman that Allah decreed whatever happened and whatever will occur ever, and that Allah wrote everything down in the preserved tablet, and that Allah the Perfect and Most High wished and willed everything which occurs in this creation, from good and evil, and unbelief and true faith, and obedience and disobedience, and that it occurs with the wish and will of Allah the Perfect and Most High, and that you truly believe that Allah is the creator of everything, just as He the Most High said, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in, Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th Surah, Ayah 16, with the explanation, Allah is the creator of everything. Shaykh al-Fawzan finished this long quote here by saying, this is Iman in Qadr. That you have Iman in all this was mentioned in this paragraph here. This is Iman in pre-decree, Qadr. And that you know and you truly believe that whatever happens to you was not going to miss you. And whatever misses you was not going to happen to you. This is Iman in pre-decree, Al-Qadr. And this is the methodology of the Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. People of the Sunnah and of the Jama'ah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, there are two sects which contradict the position of the Ahlul Sunnah with regard to the matter of pre-decree, Al-Qadr. Then he mentions those two sects. The first sect went beyond bounds in affirming pre-decree and denied the ability of the person and his wish and will, and stated that he acts without any wish and without ability and without will, and that rather he is compelled to do his actions, and that he has no choice about them. Those people are called Al-Jabariyya, the Jabariyya. They went beyond limits in affirming. They went beyond limits in affirming pre-decree. And they denied the will of the person and his wish and the wish of the person. So that's the first deviant sect who the one extreme with regard to pre-decree. They went beyond the correct limit in affirming it. They affirmed it to such a limit that they say man has no free will, man has no will himself, no wish, no ability himself. He's forced to do it. Whatever he does, he's no choice about it. He's forced and compelled to do it. Then the Shaykh mentions the second deviant sect about pre-decree. He said, the second sect is Al-Qadariyya Al-Nufat. Well-known sect, well-known as by the title Al-Qadariyya, the deniers of Qadr. Al-Qadariyya, the deniers. Those who went beyond limits in affirming the ability of the person and his choice and the will of the person. And they denied the will of Allah and that Allah has preordained the actions of the person and his creating them. And they denied all of that. They went beyond limits in one aspect, and these went beyond limits in another aspect. So those people went beyond limits in affirming the wish of Allah and His will to such an extent that they denied the will of the person. And those people went beyond all limits in affirming the will of the person. And they denied the will of Allah, they denied the wish and will of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And they are the Qadariya with their two sects, the extremists and the deniers. So that's the two different sects of the Qadariya. Those who go beyond limits in affirming it and denying the person's free will and ability. And that is, they're called Al-Jabariya, the ones who affirm it too much, the Jabariya. And the ones at the other extreme, the ones who deny it. And they affirm the free will of the person, they affirm a person's free will, and they go beyond limits in affirming a person's free will and his choice and ability. And they deny that for Allah. Sheikh said, and the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is well known. And it is to affirm pre-decree. And that Allah has wish and will. And that everything occurs with the wish and will of Allah. And that the person has wish and will and choice for which he is rewarded or punished. This is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And whoever disagrees with them, he is called the Qadariya, Al-Qadariya. Because he disagrees with regard to Qadr, pre-decree. And just before finishing, as a small point, then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentioned when was the first appearance of this sect, the Qadariya. He said, the first appearance of the saying of this, you know, the Qadariya, the deniers of pre-decree, was from Ma'bad al-Juhani. This man in Basra, Ma'bad al-Juhani. At the end of the time of the companions, he took this saying from a man who was a Magian in Basra. And then the Imam, he continues with some further deviant sects, the Murji'a and the Mu'tazila, and so on. And we'll take that next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بصرة ما بدأ الجهن الحديث صحيح مسلم right start صحيح مسلم some people in Basra said it. Thank you.